Let's pray.
我们祷告。
Heavenly Father,
天父,
we thank you for this opportunity today.
感谢你给我们今天的机会。
We ask, Lord, that you would give us wisdom.
求主给我们智慧。
We ask, Lord, that you would help us to communicate clearly.
主帮助我们传达的清楚。
We ask that you would be honored as we speak about your word today.
当我们传讲你的话，愿你的名得荣耀。
Help us, Father, do justice
让我们,
to all the concepts that we're going to talk about today.
把所有要讲的概念都讲得清清楚楚。
In Jesus' name we pray.
奉耶稣基督的名我们祷告。
Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about how to interpret the Bible.
所以我们要讲到解经学。
We're going to begin with some general concepts.
我们会 开始的时候讲一些比较普遍的概念，
and then get specific regarding different books in the Bible and how to interpret them.
然后我们会越来越详细讲到圣经里的不同的书卷，然后怎么样子解释每一卷书卷。
When interpreting the Bible,
当我们解经的时候，
it's helpful if you have a consistent approach.
如果有一个一致的方法, 就是很有帮助。
And what I want to do today is to teach you how to understand the Bible on a deeper level.
我们今天要帮助你更深地明白圣经。
Everyone can read the words.
人人都可以读圣经啊。
And get a general understanding of them.
可以有一个概念，一个谱，一个。
We're going to try to dig a little deeper. Some people ask, why do we have to interpret the Bible?
有人会问，为什么要解释圣经呢？
Don't we just read it and obey it?
你就读它嘛，你就顺服就行了吗？
However, whenever we read anything, we interpret it.
但不管你读什么，你都要解释，你都要理解。
The process of interpreting the Bible can be related to taking a journey.
理解圣经的这个过程呢, 可以跟一段旅游的过程来比较。
When you take a journey, sometimes you run into a river.
有时候你旅游的时候会碰到河流。
We'll call this the river of differences.
这个叫做, 不同概念的河流。
And it separates us
把我们
from the biblical audience,
和当时圣经的读者分开来。
We have issues of culture,
比如说文化背景的不同,
language,
语言的不同,
time,
时间的不同, 年代的不同,
situation,
情况的不同,
and covenant,
还有约的不同, 旧约新约。
Regarding the culture,
好，首先有关文化背景。
The Hebrew and Greek culture is different
希伯来文，希伯来和希腊的背景跟我们不一样啊，
than culture today
跟今天的背景，文化背景不一样。
Whether that be in China or America
中国啊，美国啊，都不一样。
There may be certain aspects of Chinese culture or American culture that's similar
也许有一些层次中国美国的文化是相似的。
But we want to remember that our culture is not their culture.
要记得我们的文化不是他们的文化，背景不一样。
Language.
好，第二，语言的不同。
The Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew.
旧约主要是希伯来文写的。
And a little Aramaic.
还有一些叫做 Aramaic， 就是叫什么文？亚兰文，对。
The New Testament in Greek.
新约呢是希腊文写的。
And that's different from the language that I learned and that you learned.
这是我们语跟我们语言不一样啊，我们中文、英文都不一样，这两个语言。
Time.
好，时间就是历史的不同。
The Bible was completed about 2,000 years ago.
圣经2000年前差不多就完成了。
And many things have changed since then.
自从那个时候，很多事情已经改变了。
And that makes this river of differences just a little bit wider.
所以这个河流的不同就越来越分歧大了。
Situation.
好，背就是景况的不同。
The situation of a particular passage depends on the context of the passage itself.
这一段经文的情况跟是根据它上下前后文当时的那个背景景况。
For example, in Exodus 20.
譬如在出埃及记二十章啊。
The Israelites are wandering in the wilderness.
以色列人在旷野漂流。
This is different than our situation here.
跟我们今天不一样。
None of us are wandering in the wilderness.
我们今天不在旷野漂流了，没有。
In Acts of the Apostles,
还有《使徒行传》
describes a situation
形容一个情况
when the old covenant was ending and the new covenant was beginning.
那是旧约刚刚结束，新约刚刚开始。
This change in covenant
这个约的改变
is different from our situation.
跟我们今天的情况又不同啊。
Let's talk about covenant.
我们现在讲讲约。
This is a really important concept to understand in interpretation.
解经的时候我们需要了解这个概念，很重要啊。
There are many covenants in scripture.
圣经有很多的约。
The Abrahamic.
亚伯拉罕的约。
The Mosaic or Old Covenant.
摩西的旧约。
The Davidic.
大卫的约。
And the New Covenants.
还有新约等等。
For example.
例如啊。
We want to make sure whatever passage we're interpreting.
我们要了解，我们不管解哪一段圣经啊。
That we recognize the covenant that passage is in.
我们要知道这段经文是在旧约还是新约还是哪个约里面。
So if we're reading Leviticus 18,
所以譬如说我们在读利未记的十八章。
We need to recognize that's part of the law or the old covenant.
我们就要明白那是在旧约里或是律法的约中啊。
That doesn't mean that it automatically doesn't apply.
这不是说跟我们一定没有关系啊。
But then the river gets wider.
但是这个分歧的河流就更宽了。
So how do we cross the river?
我们怎么样越过这条河呢？
In many Bible studies in America,
很多美国的解经啊，
we attempt to pool ignorance.
我们在查经的时候，我们把我们的无知都放在一块儿。
With ignorance.
就是大家都是无知一起讨论。
And try to arrive at truth.
然后要从无知当中得到知识和真理。
Some people use an intuitive or a feels right approach.
有些人用一些直觉的，我觉得对啊，我感觉对啊，用这种方法来解经。
Sometimes those are going to be accurate.
有时候你会猜对啊。
But you never know if you're going to get the right answer.
但是你不知道到底你对还是不对。
Some people will use a spiritualizing approach.
还有些人呢用灵异解经。
Something like, God told me this verse meant such and such.
神告诉我这段经文是这么解的。
Or, I pray more than you do, so my interpretation is probably right.
我祷告比你多，所以我的解释比你更正确。
We want our interpretations to be based upon the evidence.
我们要我们的解经是根据证据而得的结论。
So, let's not get discouraged and give up.
所以我们不要灰心，不要放弃。
Because by using an accurate, consistent approach,
因为当你用正确跟一致的解经法，
we can safely cross the river time after time.
我们可以每一次都平安地度过这分歧的河流。
A few assumptions before we start the journey.
在我们没有开始这段旅程之前呢，让我们先有一些预定，有一些假设。
These aren't things I'm going to argue for, but I'm assuming are true.
好，这些呢，我会为它辩论，但是我会假设它是真的，是先入OK.
The Bible is God's communication of Himself and His will to us.
好，第一呢，圣经是神对我们所说的话，神把他自己的旨意向我们显明。
That was number one.
好，第一个假设。
Number two.
第二。
We do not create meaning.
我们不去发明圣经的意义，不发明意思。
We seek to discover the meaning that's in the Bible.
我们乃是从圣经中发掘神的旨意，神的意思。我们不创新，不创意，乃是明白神的旨意。
This is called seeking the author's intent.
好，这个意思就是去明白作者的原意。
So we ask the question.
所以我们问的问题是
What did the author mean when he wrote this?
当作者写这段经文的时候，他要表达的意思是什么？
Assumption number three.
好，第三个假设。
Theological principles revealed in specific passages.
好，在一些经文里头要表明的神学的原则
are applicable to both the biblical audience and Christians today.
对当时的读者和今天的读者都有价值，都可以应用到，都是切身的。
So we can use what I'm going to call the principalizing process.
所以我们要用原则性的过程，这个怎么解？
Coming up with, basically we're going to come up with eternal theological principles from the passage.
Internal.
Eternal.
Eternal, okay. 从这段经文里头有一些永恒性的原则在每个世代都合用的。
To cross the river of differences.
要超越这河流的分歧。
Alright. There are five steps to biblical interpretation.
好，圣经的，合乎圣经的解经有五个步骤。
Number one.
第一。
Understanding the text in their town.
好，首先呢，要明这段经文根据当时的情况，要我们要解释它。
So we ask, what did the text mean to the biblical audience?
所以我们要问的问题是，对当时的读者，这段经文是什么意思？
One of the things that's really important to do.
其中一件很重要要做的事啊。
When interpreting scripture,
就是当我们解经的时候，很重要的
is asking questions.
就是问问题。
You want to be inquisitive.
你要有充满问题，很多疑问啊。
You want to try to ask as many questions as you can.
你要问越多问题越好。
You may not be able to answer them all.
你可能不见得每一个问题都可以解决。
That's okay.
没问题啊。
Interpretation is a lifelong process.
因为解经是一个一辈子的过程。
The more and more you read a passage.
你阅读一段经文呢
？Over decades.
你读几个世纪？哦，几十年啊？对不起。
The better you'll understand it.
你阅读，你就会越明白它。
It's like a spiral.
就像这个漩涡一样。
You get closer and closer the more you read it.
你
You get closer and closer to the meaning the more you read it.
Okay, 你阅读它，你就越近乎它的作者的本意。
So, I'm going to give you a bunch of questions.
我给你很多的问题，我会给你啊。
That you can ask.
你可以问。
Even if you can't answer them all.
尽管你回答不了，不要紧。
So,
好。
Historical context.
首先要看的是历史的上下这个背景。
You want to try to be familiar.
你要熟悉。
With the author.
熟悉他的作者。
Who wrote the passage?
就是谁写这段经文啊
？The date when it was written.
日期写的写作日期。
The audience who it was written to.
啊，要读者当时给谁写的这些书信这些。
The location of the writing, where the person was when he wrote it.
好，就是地点，他这个人写作从哪里开始写，写给谁，在什么地方。
And where it was being written to.
还有写到什么地方去，地点。
Those are questions of the historical context.
这就是，历史前后的背景，我们需要了解的这段经文。
Number two is the literary context.
第二点呢，就是文学的背景啊。
What is the genre of your text?
就是这段经文的背景啊 ，genre.
Type of literature.
哦，哪一种文学的题材？
We'll discuss.The genre or type of literature much more later.
Okay, 我们等会会讲到文学题材哪一种文学的。
You want to ask, what is the surrounding literary context to your passage?
你要知道当时的文学的 背景上下，就是当时写作的背景。
How does your passage fit into the argument of the book overall?
Okay, 你怎么跟整本书，你这段经文怎么跟整本书的文学背景调和协调？
And so you look at the passages before the passage you're interpreting and after.
你看看前后上下文啊。
And then exegesis.
然后就是解释解经，就是 okay.
Interpretation.
Okay, 就是解经了。
Yeah.
解经。
You want to ask, how would the original audience have understood the text?
你要问当时的读者怎么明白这段经文。
Don't worry about how it applies to your life yet.
你先不要担心这段经文跟你什么关系，先别担心这个。
Many times we read a passage.
常常我们读一段经文。
And we're nervous about what it might mean for us.
我们好紧张，这个跟我什么关系呢？
Don't worry about that.
先别担心这些啊。
Our first task.
我们第一个任务。
Is to figure out what it meant to them.
要明白这段经文对当时的读者有什么意义啊。
In my classes that I teach.
我教的那一课，那个课堂啊。
There are many different views on issues like.Whether or not women can be pastors.
哦，对于女人做牧师的观点有不同的，大家有不同的想法，可以，有的可以，有的不可以。
Some people believe they can. Some people believe they can't.
有的相信可以，有的相信不。女人做牧师啊。
So we'll read a verse like 1 Timothy 2:12.
比如我们读提摩太前书第二章十二节，我们读这段经文。
That says women should not teach or have authority over men.
我不允许女人教导或者有。施行权柄啊。
And some of the girls in my classes.
我们教会我们班上的女孩呢，女学生。
Wait.
No, 不赞成。
But before we apply it to today.
那我们在应用到今天之前呢。
We need to know what it meant to the original audience.
我们先要明白这段经文对当时的读者有什么意义。
So when you're trying to answer that question.
所以你要回答那些问题。
You need to try to understand the words.
你需要先设法明白这个字，这些字的意思。
And the grammar.
还有它的文法。
Sometimes it's helpful.
有时候很有帮助啊。
To rephrase the text in your own words.
用你自己的话语来把它重新再说一遍，再翻译一遍。
Step number two.
好，第二个步骤。
Measuring the width.Of the river of differences.
好，再量一量我们这个河流不同的宽度有多大的不同。
So the question is,
问题是
what are the differences between the biblical audience and us?
当时圣经的读者跟我们有什么不同？
So we talked about culture and language.
所以我们讲到了文化，讲到语言。
Time, situation.
还有历史，还有情况。
And covenant.
还有约的不同。
It's helpful to just list out the differences.
你把这些不同全部都列下来，很有帮助。
When you're interpreting a passage.
当你解经的时候，你把它列下来，很有帮助。
It helps us to remember.
帮助我们记得。
That we're removed from the original setting.
我们跟当时原来的情况有距离。
By at least 2,000 years.
至少两千年呢，两千年的距离。
That's an important reminder.
这是一个很重要的提醒。
And again, the issue of covenant,
当然这个约的不同啊，
is very important.
也非常重要。
Step three.
好，第三个步骤啊。
Utilize the principalizing process, discovering the eternal theological principle.
Okay, 你要在这段经文里头找到其中永恒的原则，古今都通用的原则。
God is eternal.
神是永恒的。
His when he communicated to people in the Bible,
当他和圣经时代的人说话的时候
his eternal character,
他永恒的本性
was revealed,
就显明了
to a particular people.
向当时那一群人说话显明
in a particular language,
用一种特殊当时的语言
in a particular country,
在那个特别的国家特定的地点
in a particular historical setting.
在一个特定的历史背景当中说话。
But underlying that communication,
但是在他说话那个信息的底下根基
is his eternal character.
是他永恒的本性。
So the principles of the principles of the text,
所以这段经文的里面的永恒的原则
will still apply.
永远是放诸是永恒不变的，放诸四海皆准的。
So we want to try to get to these principles.
所以我们要明白这里面的基本的永恒的原则。
When you discover a principle, when you're trying to figure out a principle,
当你发掘一个原则或者要明白这个原则
，It's going to be a general principle, not too specific.
这个是一个普遍原则，不是很特定的原则。
Most of the time, it can be worded.
大多情况下，你可以把这个原则用文字表达出来。
In such a way, that it would be applicable to those in Abraham's day.
好，你用文字表达出来的时候，这个原则不仅是亚伯拉罕的时代适用。
Moses' day.
摩西的时代适用。
And today.
今天也适用，永恒不变。
We'll talk about examples throughout today.
我们讲一些例子啊。
But sometimes,
但有时候,
the principles are very specific to just Christians.
这些原则只适用于基督徒。
So if the principle in a passage,
所以如果这段经文里头的原则,
is that belief,
就是信,
declares you righteous with God,
因信称义的原则, 譬如,
that's eternal, that's eternal.
这是一个永恒不变的原则。
That applies to Abraham,
亚伯拉罕也是因信称义，摩西也因信称义，基督徒也因信称义，一个原则，古今不变。
If our principle relates to something specific about the church,
如果这些原则仅仅适用于教会
，like the qualifications for a deacon,
比如说一个执事的资格。
The principle will be more specific for Christians.
那这些原则就适用于基督徒特定的。
If the passage you're interpreting,
如果你解释的这段经文呢
has multiple sections to it,
里头有不同的部分。
Each section will probably have a theological principle.
每一个段落呢，可能都有它特别的神学的原则。
This is really important.
这是很重要的。
The principle,
这个原则呢
should be derived,
应该从
From your interpretation of step one.
从你的解经当中而获得。
Sometimes my students will write papers.
当我的学生有时候写 thesis, 写这些 paper, 写论文。
And they have an interpretation in step one.
他们第一步呢有解经的这些解经。
And they have their principle in step three.
这第三步呢就是其中的原则。
And there's no relationship.
中间没有连接，连贯。
Not connected. All right, step four.
好，第四步。
Correlation.
就是其中的关系。
Two aspects to correlation.
有两个步骤啊。
Number one, passage correlation.
第一步就是经文的连贯。
What do other texts in Scripture say about your passage?
其他圣经其他的经文跟你要解释的这段经文有什么关系呢
？This is particularly important.
这是特别重要。
If you're interpreting an Old Testament passage,
尤其是你要解释旧约圣经的时候。
And
还有
，if that Old Testament passage,
如果这段旧约经文呢
，is quoted in the New Testament,
是从新约也有引用它的时候就更重要了。
So Here are some questions.
我们要问的问题是
Does another Old or New Testament passage
其他新约或旧约的经文有没有别的
Address the passage you're interpreting.
跟这段经文有关系呢
Is there a parallel text somewhere to your passage?
有没有其他的平行经文跟你要解释的这段旧约经文有关系呢
Is it quoted somewhere?
或者有别的地方新约有引用
If your text is a prophecy from the Old Testament,
如果你这段经文是旧约的一段预言
，Is it fulfilled somewhere in the New Testament？
是不是在新约里头应验了呢
？If it is, where in the New Testament is it fulfilled？
如果应验了，那新约哪里应验了呢
if your text is a is in the New Testament and it's a prophecy that's been fulfilled,
如果你的经文是在新约里头，而是一段预言已经应验的预言，
where was it prophesied in the Old Testament?
那么在旧约什么地方，什么地方找到呢？
Sometimes New Testament authors
有时候新约的作者
will quote the Old Testament
会引用旧约的经文。
Sometimes just allude to the Old Testament.
有时候仅仅是暗示一下，提一笔带过。
Sometimes the themes are from the Old Testament.
有时候这些主题是从旧约而来的。
If they are,
如果是从旧约引申来的，
where in the Old Testament are they getting it from?
旧约什么地方他得到这些概念呢？
One of the best New Testament scholars in America.
美国其中一个最好的新约学者，
in my opinion,
在我的想法里啊，
is a man named D.A. Carson.
是叫做 D.A. Carson， 卡森博士。
The number one biblical interpretation principle.
解经的第一个原则，
according to Carson,
根据这位解经家卡森，
is read your Bible.
就是读圣经
Read your Bible
读你的圣经
Read your Bible
好好读圣经
The more you read your Bible
你越读圣经
The better you'll get at understanding it
你就会越明白它
The more you read your Bible
你越读圣经
The better you'll get at connecting passages together
你就会自己头脑里头串珠把它都串起来
And as we'll talk about in a few minutes
我们等会会讲到
The more you read your Bible
你越读圣经
The more of a safeguard there is against false interpretation,
就会越防止乱解经
and bad theology,
和坏的神学
Number two, for correlation,
第二就是有关连接的经文的连接
is theological correlation,
就是神学的连接
The first step one was is there another passage that talks about your passage?
好，第一步呢是经文的连接有没有其他经文跟这段经文有关的
Here we're asking
这第二步呢我们问的是
Does the Old or New Testament address the theological principle of the text?
Okay. 旧约里头有没有同样的神学或者是教义的概念跟这个如今这段经文的教义或神学有关
Remember in step three
你记得第三步
We have our theological principle
我们刚刚讲到了神学的原则。
So now we're going to ask.
现在我们要问的是
，Do other passages address that theological principle?
有没有别的经文跟这一个神学原则有关
？You might find passages that support it.
你可以找到一些经文可以支持这个神学原则。
That would be encouraging.
这很有帮助啊。
That means you did well.
意思说你解对了。
You might find passages that.Change it or tweak it a little bit.
或者你放其他，你发现其他的圣经原则正在有违背啊，可能有一些冲突啊，摩擦。
You might find passages that totally contradict it.
甚至你会找一些经文，它的神学原则跟你这段经文的完全相违背，矛盾。
That means you made a mistake.
这意思就是你解错了，明白错误。
Step five.
好，第五步。
Apply the text to today.
你要把这段经文运用到今天实际情况。
How should individual Christians
好，身为个别的基督徒怎么样
apply the theological principle in their lives today?
怎么样把这些神学的原则跟教义的原则应用到今天
？You want to try to think of some general principles, general application principles.
我们要想到一些普遍的运用的原则
，and specific
和
application
特定的。运用，指定的运用。
Sometimes it can be helpful if you're teaching people to come up with a hypothetical example.
有时候很有帮助，你叫人想起一些假设的情况啊。
Many times,
常常啊
，you'll find that the principle,
你会发现这些原则
directly impacts your life,
跟你自己都个人息息相关。
We read the Bible,
我们读圣经。
And we get information.
我们就得到一些信息。
But that's not our goal.
这不是我们的目的，知道知识而已。不。
Our goal is not just information.
我们的目的不是仅仅知道了解知识而已。
But transformation.
而是要改变生命。
We want our minds renewed.
我们希望我们的心意更新。
So our lives can be transformed.
好叫我们的生命也改变。
So that we can glorify God with the way we live.
好叫我们的生活能够荣耀神。
Step one begins with information.
第一步是从头脑、知识、理性。
When we get to step five,
当我们到了第五步的时候
we're now allowing the Holy Spirit
我们现在就让圣灵
to take that information
把这个我们所明白的知识
and use it to change us
应用在我们的生活上来改变我们自己的生活
So those are the five steps
这是这五个步骤
Number one, understand the text in their town
第一明白当时的情况这段经文
Number two,
第二
Measure the width of the river of differences.
你要量一量这差异的河流有多大。
Number three is utilize discover the theological principle.
第三，你要发掘其中的永恒的真理原则。
Four is correlation.
第四，你要把它连贯、串珠连在一起。
Five, apply the text to today.
第五，对症下药，用在今天。
Let's do this right now.
好，我们现在来试试看啊，找一个例子。
So Ephesians 2:8-10.
二八到十节。
Now I could go in many different directions.
我可以从很多方向来角度来解释啊。
And there are many theological principles in this text.
这段经文里头很多的原则，神学的原则。
I'm just going to focus on one.
我只看其中一个。
For by grace you have been saved through faith.
你们得救是本乎恩，也因着信。这并不是出于自己，乃神所赐的；也不是出于行为，免得有人自夸。我们原是他的工作，基督耶稣里造成的。我要叫我们行善，就是神所预备叫我们行的。
The whole passage. Okay. Number one.
好，第一
，understand the text in their town.
你要明白当时这段经文对当时读者的意义。
So we'll ask questions about the historical context of Ephesians 2:8-10.
所以我们需要明白当时的历史的背景，上下前后，当时的对以弗所书二章八到十节的背景。
So who wrote Ephesians?
谁写以弗所书
？The Apostle Paul.
保罗使徒。
When was Ephesians written?
什么时候写的
？Ephesians was written about 61 to 62 AD.
公元后61到62年，差不多。
Who was the audience?
那读者是谁呢？
It was probably the Christians in Ephesus.
可能就是在以弗所的基督徒教会。
Where was Paul when he wrote it?
保罗在什么地方？当他写作的地点什么地方
？Paul was in a Roman prison.
他在罗马的监狱里。
And it was probably written to Ephesus.
可能是写给以弗所的。
So that's some of the historical context.
这是当时的历史背景啊。
What about the literary context?
那么他的文学背景是什么呢
？The genre, the type of literature.
就是这个写作的文学形式是什么
？Again, we'll get into that in more detail later.
我们以后会讲到更多啊。
But this is a letter.
但这是一封信啊，这是。
What is the surrounding context?
当时的上下前后的背景是什么
？Well, in Ephesians,
在以弗所
，Paul just concluded his introductory praise toward God.
Praise.
Praise.
保罗刚刚讲到了，他在介绍，他在赞美荣耀神。刚刚讲完了
，praising God for what He did in saving us through Christ.
他在荣耀神，因着他在基督里拯救我们的这一切恩典，感谢赞美主。以弗所书第一章
，That's chapter 1:3-14.
第一节到十四节。
After that,
之后呢
？Paul prayed for his readers.
他就为他的读者祷告。
He prayed that they would have wisdom and insight.
求主赐给他们智慧，能够明白。
Then we find our passage.
然后之后呢，我们就找到以弗所书第二章了。
Ephesians 2:1-10.
二章一到十节。
In this text,
在这一段经文里呢
，Paul is describing what he did in saving us.
保罗在形容神为我们做的是什么？当他拯救我们的时候，他做了什么
？The next section,
那下一段落呢
，deals with The Jew and Gentile relationship in salvation.
讲到犹太人跟外邦人的不同，他们的关系。
That's how you put the passage into context.
这就你把这段经文就放到它前后上下的大环境中。
we want to look at the argument through the book of Ephesians.
好，我们要看看以弗所书要讲的焦点呢，辩论的是什么？
And how this passage fits into that argument.
好，这段经文呢，怎么跟整本书信的主题调和？
And what Paul explains in Ephesians 2:1-10.
以弗所书呢，第二章一到十节。
Specifically verse 10.
特别是第十节啊。
Is the purpose of our salvation.
是我们救恩的目的是什么？
To walk in good works.
好，叫我们行在善，行善。
So he's going to apply this later in the letter.
他之后呢，他会继续的运用在以弗所书后面。
When he explains what the good works are.
当他解释什么叫善行，什么叫行善。
Let's look at verse 10.
好，我们看第十节啊。
Remember I said it's good to ask questions?
记得我刚刚说了，问问题很好，越多越好。
One of the exercises
这是我们要练习的啊。
That Bible interpretation teachers will ask students.
圣经教师呢，教你怎么解经的时候要你练习，怎么问问题。
Is they'll ask them to make as many observations.
叫他们观察，尽量观察。
Or ask as many questions
尽量问问题
of a passage
问这段经文有关他的问题
that they possibly can
你尽量问越多越好
They'll give him one verse
这个老师会给他一段经文
Lock him in a room
把他关在房间里
And come back an hour later
一个钟头之后回来
We could do it with a bottle of water
我们可以问有一关一瓶水的问题啊
We could look at the bottle of water and make observations.
你可以观察，看看它各个角度。
We could talk about the colors.
我们可以讲的颜色。
We could talk about the ribs and the ridges in the bottle itself.
还有这里的纹花纹，这个瓶子的纹路。
Talk about the barcode.
还有这个叫什么商标。
Some of these observations
这些观察
are irrelevant.
都。很有关系，跟我们很息息相关的。
But you'll never know if an observation is irrelevant,
但是
until you make it.
那除非你观察了它，你就不知道它跟我们有没有关系。你先要观察才知道，是不是跟我们有切身的关系。
So four questions on Ephesians 2:10.
所以以弗所书第二章十节有四个问题啊。
What did God prepare beforehand?
神在起初，神所预备叫我们行的是什么
？What does the pronoun them refer to when it says we should walk in them？
他说：“好叫我们行在其间。”这是指的是什么
？What does the phrase "so that we would" refer to？ What does it mean？
就是好叫我们是什么意思？好叫我们行善。
And what are the good works？Good works specifically.
神要我们行善是行什么善呢
？What did God prepare beforehand?
神起初所预备的，所预备叫我们行的是什么呢
？God prepared good works beforehand.
神预备了善行，起初。
The them at the end of the verse.
中文没有啊。In Chinese, there's no.
No, there is no them. What does it say?
There's no them.预备叫我们行的，
for us to walk in,
just叫 that we can walk in.
What are we supposed to walk in?
我们应该行什么
？What we're supposed to walk in is good works.
我们应当行的是善行。
There are some English translations that do that as well.
Okay,
I was familiar with that.
Okay,
is there a statement of purpose like so that we would? Is that in the Chinese text?
Okay.好叫我们行善，有 OK.
The words "so that"
为要叫我们
refer to the purpose
指的是目的，为要叫我们行善。
So the purpose of what
是什么目的呢
？The purpose that God prepared the works was for us to do them.
好，神之所以预备了善行叫我们行的目的是叫我们去行。
More generally,
更普遍的讲，更泛泛而论呢。
One of the purposes,
其中一个目的
for our salvation,
我们救恩的目的，得救的目的
was for us to do these good works.
好叫我们行善嘛，就是目的。
This does not make these good works optional.
当然，这并不是叫这些善行成为可有可无啊，无所谓啊。
But something that we will do.
乃是我们必要行的。
Since God prepared them beforehand.
既然神起初就预备叫我们行善了嘛。
Some translations in English.
有些英文的翻译啊。
Make this verse sound.
有时候把它翻成的意思是变成。
As if the good works might be done.
变成好像这个善行可有可无，无所谓了，也可以做，也许会做。
You might do them, you might not.
你也许会行善，也许不行善，不一定啦。
But that's not what the author was trying to communicate.
但这并不是作者的原意。
He's trying to say God prepared these works.
他说神预备了这些善行
for you to do.
好叫你行善，你必要做。
Number four.
好，第四点。
What are the good works specifically?
好，这些善行是哪些善行呢？
Now the verse says that we will walk in the good works.
好，这段经文说，好叫我们行善，行善。
Does it use the word walk there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That word was used earlier in the passage.
这段经文啊，前面也用过，行善的行者。
Ephesians 2:2.
就以弗所书二章二节。Okay.Read it. Okay, 那时你们在其中行事为人，随从今世的风俗，顺从空中掌权者的领袖，只现今在被你执行中运行的邪灵。
Is the word walk there?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So we used to walk in the ways of the flesh.
好，我们从前呢，我们行在其中啊，就行在肉体中。
We used to walk in the ways of the world.
我们行事为人，我们在世界当中。
But now,
好，如今呢？
That we've been made alive together with Christ.
我们与基督一同复活了。
Which is verse 5.
这第五节说的啊。
Now we walk in good works.
如今我们就行善了。
See, Paul was making a contrast.
是保罗在这里在对比啊。
Between the way we used to walk.
就是我们从前行事为人那个行啊。
In the flesh.
就是在肉体中，在世界里。
With the way we walk now.
跟现在对比。
That we've been made alive together with Christ.
我们现在与基督一同复活了。我们如何行善
？Raised together.
我们与他一同复活。
And seated together.
一同坐下。
In the heavenly places.
在天上。
That's verse 6.
这是第六节啊。
Ephesians can be broken into two parts.
以弗所书可以分成两个大段落。
1-3, chapters 1-3.
一到三章。
Is the theological foundation
是神学的基础
and 4-6
四到六章
applies those that theology
把这神学的神学
to how to live your life
运用神学在实际生活上
so if we look at the second half of Ephesians
所以你看看以弗所书的后半部四到六章
we'll see Paul use this word walk
你就看到保罗用这个字行
and get specific
而且更加的确切
About what that looks like.
行善什么意思啊？是像什么样子的
？For example, Ephesians 4:1-3.
例如说第四章的一到三节，我为主被囚的，劝你们，既然蒙召行事为人，就当与蒙召的恩相称。凡事谦虚、温柔、忍耐，用爱心互相联络，用和平彼此联络，竭力保守圣灵所赐合而为一的心。
Paul says to walk in a manner worthy of the calling.
保罗说你们行事为人就当与蒙召的恩相称啊。
And then he gives specifics about what it looks like to walk.
然后他就告诉你这个行善行事为人是怎么行的呢
？Humility.
要谦卑。
Gentleness.
要温柔。
Patience.
要忍耐。
Tolerating one another.
要有爱心彼此宽容。
This is specifics.
这些都是细节。
To Ephesians 2:10,
就是以弗所书二章十节的细节啊，行出来是什么样的
？These are examples.
这些是例子
of the good works we are to walk in.
这实际的例子，我们要行善是行哪一些善行呢
？Ephesians 5:2.
再举个例子，五章二节。OK, 也要凭着爱心行事，正如基督爱我们，为我们舍了自己，当作馨香的供物和献。祭物献于神。Okay.
Here we are to walk in love.
这里我们要凭爱心行事。
So being loving,
有爱心呢
is another example of the good works we're to walk in.
那个善行，我们要行的善行当中的其中另一个例子啊，凭着爱心行事。
Ephesians 5, 8 through 10.
好，以弗所书第五章八到十节 8 to 10。 从前你们是暗昧的，但如今在主里是光明的，行事为人就当像光明的子女，光明所结的果子就是一切良善、公义、诚实，总要查验何为主所喜悦的事。
Here we are to walk as children of light.
好，这里呢，我们行事为人呢，就要像光明之子。
Trying to learn what pleases the Lord.
我们要了解什么是讨神喜悦的。
That's another example of walking in the good works.
这是另外一个行善的例子。
One more.
好，再举个例子。
Ephesians 5, 15 to 16.
五章 15 to 16, 十五到十六节，你们要谨慎行事，不要像愚昧人，当像智慧人，要爱惜光阴，因为现今的世代邪恶。
Here we are told to be wise.
这里神叫我们要做智慧人啊。
Not foolish.
不要做愚昧人。
And make the most of our time.
我们要珍惜光阴，抓住机会。
I know in America we waste a lot of time with our in our lives.
我们在美国啊，真是浪费很多时间了，我们生命荒废。
Whether it's the TV shows,
不管是看电视啊
，or the unfruitful activities,
那些没有果效的工作，
we fill our lives with.
我们徒然无功了，我们生命都浪费了。
And Paul is urging us to be wise with the way we live our life.
保罗在提醒我们要。做智慧人，不要浪费时间。
And that concept of walking,
这个行啊，行事为人
really refers just to the way you live your life.
指的是你的生活方式，行事为人嘛。
So back in Ephesians 2:10,
所以回到以弗所书二章十节啊。
We are to walk in contrast to the way that we used to live.
我们现在行事为人，跟我们从前的行事为人要有对比了，要有鲜明的不同了。
So humility,
要谦卑
patience,
要有耐心
gentleness,
忍耐温柔
show tolerance,
也要互相宽容
preserving unity,
要保守圣灵所赐合而为一的心
loving,
要彼此相爱
learning what is pleasing to the Lord,
我们要学习什么是讨神喜悦的行事，要讨神喜悦
and wisely,
而且要智慧在光明中 etc.
Step one,
好，第一步
Let's go now to step two.
好，我们到第二步了。
Now, step one was what it meant to the original audience.
好，这第一步呢是对当时的读者是有什么意义啊
？Now, in step two,
第二步
，we're going to recognize the river of differences.
我们要看到这河流的差异了。
And we're just going to list out just a couple of the differences.
我们要讲到大概一两个不同啊。
To remind us,
提醒我们
that we aren't the original audience.
我们不是起初的读者啊。
The culture,
就第一文化不同。
Ephesian culture was much different than ours.
以弗所的文化跟我们今天文化不一样啊。
But that difference,
但那个不同呢
does not have a significant bearing.
其实也是不是很大的，也没有什么大的不同啊。
In this passage,
在这段经文里头
the language,
语言也不同嘛。
It was written in Greek.
那是希腊文写的。
None of us here, I think, are fluent in Greek.
我想我们当中对希腊文都不是很熟悉。
It was written 2,000 years ago. That's the time.
是这两千年前写的。
The situation for the Ephesian church.
对，当时以弗所教会的情况
is different than churches I'm in.
也跟我现在所在的教会不一样吗
？That church the church age had just begun 30 years prior.
那时候教会时代刚刚开始，三十年前刚刚五旬节开始。教会时代
，and the Ephesian church itself，
以弗所教会本身呢
，was even younger than that，
甚至更年轻，更时间更短。
They were receiving a letter from an apostle，
他们从使徒亲笔所写的信，他们接受了。
I've never gone to my mailbox，
我到我的信箱里头从来没有。
And had a letter from an apostle，
从使徒给我来信没有。
Brother Paul might be the closest to that，
保罗弟兄可能更近了，最近了。
Regarding covenant,
好，有关约的不同呢。
Same covenant,
同一个约都在新约吗
？Both of us are in the new covenant.
我们都在新约里面。
The Ephesians and us.
以弗所教会跟我们。
Step three.
好，第三步。
Discovering the theological principle.
要从中发掘那永恒不变的神学原则。
Those who have been made alive or regenerated.
那些重生的人。与基督同复活的人
will walk in the good works.
他们行事为人一定会行出善行来。
God has prepared for them.
就是神为他们所预备要行的。
Now these good works,
这些善行呢,
should therefore characterize,
因此呢,应该表明
their life,
显明他们的生命。
It should be the pattern of their life.
这应该是他们生命的特征特质，而且是一贯的特质。
So humility,
譬如
in gentleness,
温柔
patience,
忍耐谦卑宽容
preserving unity,
同心合意
loving and being wise,
行事在爱中而且珍惜光阴有智慧
These should be descriptions,
这些应该是形容
of how we generally live our lives.
形容一个基督徒一般情况怎么样行事为人，我们的生活方式。
It doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes.
不是说我们十全十美不会犯错了。
We have arrogant moments.
我们也有高傲的那片刻。
Arrogant days.
甚至很长的时间都会骄傲。
Arrogant weeks.
还有甚至一个礼拜都会骄傲几天。
But we want our lives to be characterized by humility.
但是我们希望我们的生命的大致这个大方向是谦卑的。
Patience, for example.
再拿个例子，举个例子，忍耐。
We want to try to be patient with each other.
我们希望尽量互相宽容忍耐。
Larry has to be very patient with me.
我必须对他有耐心。You too.
And he's doing a good job of that.
No. You're patient with me. 我们彼此。
But sometimes we're impatient, aren't we?
有时候我们不耐心。
But these things should characterize be the pattern of our life.
这些应该是我们生活的大方向，我们的主流。
So that would be a theological principle.
这是一个神学的原则。
Step four.
好，第四个步骤。
Correlation.
就是彼此的关系，相关的关系。
Regarding the passage correlation.
第一呢，有关这个这段经文的有关的经文。
This.Is not quoted anywhere in the New Testament or the Old Testament.
这段经文在新约任何地方或者旧约都没有引用过。
So then we can go to theological correlation.
所以我们可以到下一步，就是神学的关联。
Do other passages support the concept, the theological concept?
Okay, 有没有别的经文呢？支持这里的神学的概念呢？教义呢？
That Christians should be living these good works.
就是基督徒应该行善，应该有善行，行事为人。
And here are some passages that do that.
我们看看有一些有关神学的关联的经文。
John 3:19-21.
约翰福音3:19-20，光来到世间，世人因自己的行为是恶的，不爱光，倒爱黑暗，定他们罪的就是在此。凡作恶的，便恨光。并不来救光，恐怕他的行为受责备，但行真理的必来救光，要显明他所行的是靠神而行。
There are some people that say,
有些人他们会说啊,
that repentance,
悔改,
is not part of the gospel,
不是福音的一部分,
because the word,
因为这个字啊,悔改,
is not found in the gospel of John.
在约翰福音里头没有悔改的字。
This is a exegetical fallacy. How do you say that?
这是一个解经的错误。
Okay. We don't just look for words.
我们不仅是找这些字眼而已。
But we look for concepts.
我们找的是那个概念呢，悔改的概念。
What separates those who believe and those who don't?
把信者跟不信的人分开的是。
Is those who don't believe
是那些不信的人呢
hate the light
恨恶光
and they don't want their deeds exposed
他们不愿意他们的行为被暴露出来曝光啊
because their deeds are evil
因为他们所行的是恶的
they're not loving
他们没有爱心
they're not patient
他们没有耐心
they're not humble
他们也没有虚心
they don't want God they don't want those deeds exposed by God
他们不要他们这些不爱心这些不好的行为被神光照或者曝光
But those who believe,
但那些信的人呢？相反
，practice the truth.
他们行真理。
It's the pattern of their life.
是他们的生活方式一贯大方向。
And they're not scared to be exposed.
他们不怕曝光。
Having their deeds shown to be in the light.
他们不怕让他们所行的 在光中显明出来。
Another verse.
好，另外一段。
Titus 1:16.
提多书一章十六节，他们说是认识神，行事却与他相悖，本是可憎恶的，是悖逆的，在各样的善事上是可废弃的。
They say they know God.
他们说是认识神。
But their deeds deny him.
但他们所行的背道而驰。
We can know someone's belief.
我们可以知道一个人所信的。
By the way they live.
借着他们所行的就知道他们所信的。
And that's what we were saying back in Ephesians 2:10.
这就是以弗所书二章十节所说的。
One more.
好，再来一段经文。
Acts 3:26.
使徒行传第三章二十六节，神既兴起他的仆人或说儿子啊。就先差他到你们这里来赐福给你们，叫你们个人回转离开罪恶。
What Peter is saying here,
彼得现在说的是
is that when God saves people,
当神拯救人，
He turns them from their wicked ways.
他就把他们从恶中转过来。
So they're no longer doing those wicked things.
所以他们不会再继续作恶下去。
Instead of being wicked,
所以如今他们不再作恶。
They're going to be now patient.
他们反倒有耐心了
humble,
谦卑了
and loving.
有爱心
They've turned from wicked ways.
他们从恶中转向善
So all these passages
所以这些经文呢
support
都在支持
what we learned in Ephesians 2:10.
支持以弗所书第二章第十节的这个神学概念
Step 5.
原则好第
application.
好第五个步骤是应用实际应用
Now, there's one correct interpretation to every verse.
每一段经文呢，都有一个，只有一个正确的解释。
But many ways it can be applied.
但是有很多很多的应用。
So I might give you one or two applications.
我可能给你一两个应用啊。
You might be able to come up with 5 or 10 more.
你可能还可以再想到5个、10个更多的应用方式。
People who claim to be Christians,
自称是基督徒的人
but refuse to walk in the good works God prepared beforehand,
却不愿意行在神所预备的善中
are likely children destined for wrath.
很可能是可怒之子。
That's from Ephesians 2:3.
这是根据以弗所书二章三节啊，这么说的。我们从前也都在他们中间放纵肉体的私欲，随着肉体和心中所喜好的去行，本为可怒之子，和别人一样。
That was the destiny.
这就是他们的最后的结局。
Of those before God made them alive.
就是他们没有被神重生，在基督里得生命之前，这是他们从前的光景和结局，可怒之子。
Now that's kind of a negative application.
这是一个。负面的应用啊
the positive application
那么正面的应用是什么呢
would be an encouragement for us to walk in those good works
就是在鼓励我们要行在其间行善、啊、
ask ourselves questions
我们要问自己问题
like how have we been arrogant
我们怎么样子骄傲啊从前不谦卑
how have we been impatient
我们怎么样子不温柔 不耐心
Maybe even create a scenario where we've been impatient. Think about where we've been impatient.
或者想一想我这个光景，我们从前，我们没有耐心的时候是什么样子。
And then we would have reason to go to God and repent of our impatience.
然后我们就可以来到神面前，我们有理由要悔改，要承认我们的没耐心。
So, what we've done so far?
我们现在啊，到目前为止。
It set up a process to interpret scripture.
就是我们有一个过程，解经的过程。
Five steps.
五个步骤。
And we're going to talk about the rest of today. We're going to talk about general principles for interpretation.
我们继续会讲啊，然后讲到普遍原则解经的普遍原则。
We'll talk about how to interpret passages in the Gospels.
然后我们讲到怎么样解释福音书里的一些经文。
And how to interpret passages in the letters.
然后怎么样解释书信保罗书信啊，譬如里面的经文。
And we'll see how much time we have for the rest of the stuff.
我们看看还有没有时间讲其他的。
Please visit our website at heartcrymissionary.com. There you will find information about the ministry, our purpose, beliefs, and methodologies, and extensive information about the missionaries we are privileged to serve.